This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for being a loyal listener to the Remarkable Results Radio podcast. Carm Capriotto here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts and the original member of the Aftermarket Radio Network. Now, that's where you'll also find episodes from Chris Cotton, Matt Fonslow, and Bob Greenwood inside your feed. Yeah, I'm proud to say that they are all part of the Aftermarket Radio Network, and our goal as a collective group is to give you a wide and creative slice of knowledge to help advance the aftermarket and elevate every business. Hey, did you know ASCCA, the Automotive Service Councils of California, the great California Association, also has an educational foundation? Well, the purpose is to raise funds to support and encourage technical training and education for the automotive industry. Now, did you know that you can be involved outside of California? Ask yourself if you and your network are doing enough to support educational scholarships in our industry. Hey, thanks to our sponsor, NAPA, for providing this episode. You know, it's no secret, we're facing a technician shortage, and NAPA Auto Care is addressing that. The free two-year apprentice program offers a variety of training to produce a technician with three ASE certifications. Great, great program. Now, to learn more, members can visit member.napaautocare.com. It's about time. Now, let's jump in and learn how vehicle donations help raise money for automotive scholarships, something you may want to do. Hey, a warm welcome to two great friends out there on the left coast. I mean, in California. California. John Epstein, John's Automotive San Diego, California, president of ASCCA. Hello, John.
Hey, Carm. Thanks for having us today.
I'm glad you're here. Dave Cusa, Auto Trend Diagnostics San Fran, president of the Educational Foundation. And that's why you guys are here. Hey, Dave.
Hi. Good morning, Carm. How you doing?
Great. These guys are doing some really great things out there in California. You know how much I am into education. I mean, talk to the high schools, talk to the colleges, get on their advisory boards, do an apprentice program, all of this stuff. We just can't do enough. We really can't. I've done a lot of shows. There's a couple of shows coming out all about the intimacy with what we need to do with the high schools. But at the end of the day, many of these students need some money to attend school. And you guys put together this incredible foundation, the Automotive Service Council's Educational Foundation. So here's what we're here to do. How does it work? How are you earning your money? What kind of scholarships are you giving? What's the vetting process? I think it's important to anyone who's listening to say, hey, I don't need a national or a statewide association. I got 20 independents in town here. Let's do this ourselves, because we would, you know, love anyone we put through the local community college or wherever to stay and work here, right?
That's, yeah, exactly.
So, David, you're the leader of this educational foundation. What's the purpose of this?
I have the honor of serving as president. John is the chair of our board of trustees. I'm appointed. He's elected, so lucky me. So the purpose, Carm, is to raise money to supply students that want to get into the aftermarket repair industry and can't necessarily afford all of the training. So we have a process to create and award scholarships to those deserving students. And they can be high school, community college. It doesn't really matter. It just has to be an aftermarket. A desire to come work in the aftermarket is the key.
What kind of monetary numbers are you giving? 500,000, 4,000? I don't know what school is costing out in California, but is there enough to pay for 25% of the schooling?
So what is it, $1,000 scholarship, John, last year?
Yeah, it's $500 to $1,000, depending on the student and the scholarship. I believe last year we chose to give $1,000 minimum. Years past it's been $500, but we have a couple scholarship funds that give together, so they can give $1,500, but most of them around $1,000.
But it's not just $1,000 scholarship. You guys are doing many.
Oh, yeah. We had, 25, 23 last year?
We had 28 scholarships 28. Last year, and they went to 16 different students. We gave out over $23,000, which was the most money we've given out in scholarships in a single year. And the most exciting part of it was, is we actually had to pick from a list of students who were qualified to receive our scholarships. In years past, we've had 20 scholarships to give, and we've only had 15 people that actually qualified. Whereas this year, I believe we had over 60 qualified students, you know, that could have received scholarships if we had enough money to give one to everybody.
You know, I think you bring up a great point. And to me, that would be one of the greatest challenges of any foundation. How do you market out to the community that these scholarships are available? What are you guys doing?
Go to the schools. You know, I have three or four schools here in San Diego. They're community colleges mostly. You know, UTI is also, we had some recipients from UTI, but most of our colleges are community colleges. I work very closely with the Cuyamaca and Grossmont Colleges. I'm on their foundation board, their advisory board for the auto shop and all that. You know, this past year, they didn't have class, you know, in person for the most part, but the year before, I actually went to the classrooms and had a conversation with the students and told them where to go, you know, where to sign up. Crazy part is we didn't get a lot of, you know, people have followed through on it. You know, so there are different challenges. Obviously, we don't see what the challenges are, whether they feel, well, there's 500 students, there's 30 scholarships, I'm not going to get it. Or, you know, do they not have access to a computer? You know, who knows? I don't really know. That's something, you know, we're trying to focus on.
I love it. I went out and I talked to the students, and not only talked to them about the independence and why this incredible industry is going to be, it's currently high tech, it's going to even be better. So if you love to work with your hands and you want to be kind of in the computer business, this is the right class. Pay attention, get good grades, and you're going to always have a job. But we have money for scholarships. We have money to help you pay for a semester or two. Where is the easy button? And so let me throw a wild idea. When you're out there in the class, where's the little tiny postcard that has the QR code on it that takes them right to the application at the foundation?
Great idea. We do. Yeah.
When I went and spoke to the, you know, to the classes, you know, we actually, the teacher wrote it up on the board. Here's the website. It's real. It's automotivescholarships.com. They, you know, everybody's out there punching in their phones and, you know, hey, do you guys got it? Yeah, we got it right here. You know, so we didn't necessarily in that case give them, you know, a QR code, but we showed them how to do it, asked them to do it.
Everybody's got phones, right? But what was that? What was the name of that website? It's dinner time. They're at home. They're having a beer with their buddy. What was the name of that? It's the card. It's the walk away piece. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to tell you how to do this, but you know me, someone talks to me and I come up with these wild ideas on how we can make it so easy for people. And I'll tell you, you've never seen more QR codes anywhere today. Have you noticed?
They're everywhere. Yeah.
They're even on TV commercials. You know, it bothers, you're watching this TV commercial and I said, why are they doing that? And I said, oh, the pause button.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
You pause, you walk up to the TV with your phone, and bam, you've got the menu of the restaurant, right?
Get you to watch the commercial, too.
Right.
Exactly right. So, guys, a lot of scholarships, tons of money. How are you generating the cash to keep this endowment going?
So the vast majority is through vehicle donations. We call it Cars for Careers. It's through our shops, generally speaking. You know, the unfortunate reality is many times a car is, you know, broken beyond the want or need of the owner to repair it. As an example, right? Transmission went out, car won't move, right? It's going to be thousands of dollars to fix it. They don't want to do that. Now what? What do you do with the car? Their first concern is, how do I get another car? Their second concern is, how do I get rid of this car? What am I going to do with it, right? Because it doesn't drive, it doesn't move. Do I tow it home? Do I try and trade it in? When we get to that part of the transaction, we have the conversation and just that, right? What are you going to do with the car, right? Let me offer you a solution, right? And we explain, with my clients and customers at my shop or my manager, we explain the process. It's pretty simple. The car's here. All I need is a clean pink slip. You come down, sign everything off, get everything you want and need out of your car. A little bit of paperwork to do. It's a phone call for me to company, the agency that processes all the cars for us. And in a day or two, the car's gone and it goes to auction. They sell anywhere from a few hundred dollars to $8,000 or $10,000 at auction. Just depends what car it is and, you know, who's in the market for it. I had a, you know, a late 90s Mustang convertible that, you know, needed an engine, and it went to auction and it got like almost $9,000 for probably what was a $2,000 car to start with at best. It went to Saudi Arabia because, a prince in Saudi Arabia wanted the car. So he paid $9,000 for it, right? So who knows what happened? So here's an opportunity to raise a ton of money with very little effort.
Take me behind the scenes, Dave. The check comes to you. It goes to ASECA Educational Foundation. Where's the check go?
Goes to the foundation.
Oh, because the foundation ends up becoming the owner of the vehicle through the pink slip?
For a short time, yes.
That is what's funding this. What kind of money does a foundation need to have to sustain 20-some thousand dollars a year in scholarships? 80, 90 grand?
So the scholarship funds need to have $10,000 in the individual fund. So we have several funds. And at that $10,000, we can give out generally $500 a year from that scholarship fund, just off the interest, or not the interest, but the investments that we make. In some years, last year, the market did really well. So we actually ended up with more money. So we always try to maintain a minimum of $10,000 in an account.
Could it be six figures? The endowment is six figures, maybe?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Everybody has to stop and think, well, wow, we just had a great fundraising year. We have $10,000. Well, maybe you can give out a couple of 500s to start. But you guys have been doing this for quite a while now.
Been 20 years or so, right?
It started a lot farther back. But yes, it got the serious start with the vehicle donation problem in the beginning of 2000s. That's when they started giving out a substantial amount of scholarships.
And I should mention too that sometimes this forgets in the conversation. So, I as president of the foundation and John as chair, we're volunteers. We don't get paid. The rest of our board of trustees, mostly ASCCA member shop owners, again, volunteer their time. We have a process for once the scholarships are in that we review as a team, we review the scholarships. And, again, everybody there is a volunteer. So my point is that, our overhead is very low. We do have AMG, which is our management company, does manage the foundation, but they do it at a very deep discount for us. Other than the costs of the towing the car and auctioning the car, those kinds of things, we have basically zero costs. So, we have a very high amount of the money that the program brings in. Huge percentage of that, 75% of it, something like that, is going into the foundation. A lot of times foundations, it's somebody's job and they should get compensated for it. So unfortunately, a much smaller percentage ends up in the foundation. But we're fortunate enough that, we can run this pretty darn lean.
I love the URL. I mean, God, how long ago did you get that? AutomotiveScholarships.com. That's the gold URL.
So that's not ours. That actually is it's an organization that we work with. Even cooler here is you can go to this website, enter your information, and it will tell you what scholarships you're eligible for. So you can automatically, go out to, 50 different scholarships that you're eligible for.
This is the same one that University of the Aftermarket has?
I believe so.
I think so. Yeah.
I think it is. Yes, I think it is. That just rings a bell for me because we've done a show on that for them. Okay, the vetting process. You get all these applications. Like you said, you had 60 this year. You probably laid out 20. I think you said 23.
Yeah, 28. Yeah,
28. Does a committee get together and rate these individually, and then you add up a score and you find out who your top people are? How's that work?
Exactly, just like that.
The application process, there's certain things that if you don't do, we don't even see your application. We ask for just a few minor things. We want to know who you are. We want to know what your plans are. And obviously it's not set in stone. It's not, I want to be, working for Auto Trend Diagnostics by next year. And, it's a desire, hey, I want to work in the aftermarket. I like to become a master tech, whatever. But we are looking for people that want to be in the aftermarket, not necessarily going to the dealers.
Right.
If somebody wants to be a shop owner, hey, great. That's fine. That qualifies if they want to be an independent shop owner.
It's a 501c3? non-for-profit?
50-something, yeah, yeah. But yeah. It's non-profit, yeah, yeah. It's non-profit, yeah.
And John, Dave, and all your members, is there any kind of marketing or placard on the counter with anything so that they can, you know, even the parents say, oh, this is a cool thing for possibly my son or daughter?
Yeah, we have stuff in the colleges. The most important part of that, in my eyes, is us getting into the classrooms and having conversations.
So not at your counters, not with your customers won't come in and see anything about.
Oh no, they do. Yeah, yeah, we have brochures.
And, oh, got it.
All right. Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
I missed it.
Our shops. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Hey, Carm here, and coming up, find out the vetting process for scholarship applications. Hey, it's Carm here to tell you about the best shop management solution for your auto care center, Trax Enterprise. Now, since NAPA introduced Trax in 1989, it's been the industry's leading shop management system out there. Today, Trax Enterprise offers even more of the features auto care center owners want, things like a powerful interactive scheduling calendar, faster and streamlined workflow, multi-shop capabilities, easy pay consumer financing integration, and more. That means you can count on Trax Enterprise to help drive your success today and well into the future. The tabbed interface lets you open and view multiple estimates, ROs, invoices, and purchase orders all at the same time. You can even place windows side by side, over or under, or drag a tab from another application outside Trax to open another window. One auto care center owner said he loves being able to have 10 to 12 work orders open at once. Enterprise also offers a Microsoft Outlook type calendar so you can view daily, weekly, and monthly schedules, drag and drop appointments between days and times, and block time to indicate length of work. Punch out to Mitchell Pro Demand is another huge benefit. It provides embedded labor, part, maintenance, and fluid capacities that can be transferred to estimates and repair orders within Trax. Trax Enterprise also streamlines parts ordering. Just one click and it's done. The mobile capture app sold another auto care owner on Trax Enterprise. He said there's no reason to write VINs by hand anymore. You can decode the VIN from a mobile device and send all the information directly to Trax. There are reporting features too. For example, with just a couple of clicks, you can find out how many repair orders you've written in a month. Talk to your Napa Auto Parts store and find out more about what Trax Enterprise can do for you, plus the hundreds of other great things the auto care program has to offer. So, you guys got the marketing down, you've got the application down, you've got the vetting down, you've got how you make the money down. As far as the application, there's a group in New York, in my town, and these 20, 30 independents want to get together and do this. Can I pick up the phone and say, guys, could you share a copy of that application process so I don't have to figure it out from scratch?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because we, you know, in that description, right? So, you know, so ASCCA, right, is the Automotive Service Councils of California, is our state association. And then we have a number of chapters throughout the state. So we do have, you know, ASCEF, Educational Foundation Scholarships, but we do also have a number of chapters that have their own scholarships in their chapter that the foundation administers. But the chapter gets to make the rules on, you know, who should get it, right? So generally, like chapter 5 is our biggest chapter down south, and I think they have 3 scholarships that they have created and funded,
and their own fund.
Yeah. Through their chapter. Yes. Yeah. We administer it. The foundation administers it, but they decide who gets that particular, those scholarships, right? The applications from their area are reviewed by that chapter. Then that person that lives in that area, goes to school in that area, is going to work in that area, benefits from that scholarship. And it, you know, helps the chapter as well, right? Because, you know, the shops in that area are able to, you know, hire well-trained and educated students.
Scenario, chapter 5 got 30 applications. They only have enough money to give out 3. Would they send those other 27 up to you guys?
Yes, because you're eligible for more than one application. So that often happens. I mean, one scholarship, that often happens where a chapter recipient will also receive a foundation state scholarship as well. That's what, you know, when John was saying, you know, the 23,000 and 28 scholarship, you know, some of them overlap. So.
Last call, guys. What have I failed to ask you, or do you want to tell us about this?
I have a couple of things going back to, you know, the scholarship funds that we have. We have some great opportunities for people to create a scholarship. I actually started a John's Automotive Care scholarship last year. It's not completely funded, but we're working on that. And then I got this crazy idea that, hey, I wonder if my employees would want to participate in a John's Automotive Care employees scholarship. And it turns out they do. So we're trying to build that right now. We're trying to figure out how that works. But, you know, we're going to have everybody sign something that says, please take $5 out of my paycheck every pay period to go to the, you know, the scholarship fund, or $10 or whatever they want. I'm going to match whatever they put in. We collect $5,000 from the employees. I'll put $5,000 in. So we'll have this John's Automotive Care employees scholarship. So it's just kind of thinking outside the box.
Great idea. Wow.
And then we offer this to our partners as well. So let's say, no pressure, Carm, but, you know, let's say you want to have a Remarkable Results scholarship fund. You could send us a check for $10,000, or a check $5,000 this year, $5,000 next year. And then you're going to have that scholarship fund moving forward.
Under the umbrella of the AS educational ASE, and then as you award the scholarships, they'll all have that, if you will, private brand attached to each of those scholarships.
Absolutely.
Excellent idea to involve so many. Imagine the suppliers that you may want to, you know, the manufacturers who would want to get involved.
Yeah. We have one more opportunity too, where let's say, you know, you did really well and you've got an extra $1,000 this year. You can just say, hey, Dave, can ASCEF give this $1,000 out in a scholarship, a one-time scholarship? We can do that as well. So it's not, you know, it's not just building these big funds and, you know, giving out smaller, you know, the smaller amounts. We can take just straight money and pass it through and give out scholarships that way. So if somebody wants to participate when they have money, you know, that's an option as well. So
as far as the, you know, the vehicle donation process, right, we are able to accept vehicle donations almost across the country. There's a, you know, a couple pockets here and there that the auction company doesn't necessarily service, but it's not, my point is, not only you don't have to be in California to donate the car to ASCEF. You can be anywhere. You know, the opportunity again is for not just the vehicle owner that perhaps, you know, you've all heard the commercials on the radio where, you know, the car sitting behind the barn, that kind of stuff, right? It's an opportunity again for a shop to provide a valuable service to a client that has a car that they just don't know what to do with. And it's super easy. You know, a few minutes again on the phone. And then, you know, I've had people break down and cry saying, thank you so much, because I didn't know what I was going to do with this car. Right. I mean, they have all the stress of the broken car to start with that they're not going to fix. And then what do I do with it? So one of the things that we hear from some of our shop owners that are concerned about this process, one of them is, well, maybe, you know, they're going to think I'm trying to steal the car, and they're not, right. They don't. The customer does not think that. You have to present it correctly. The benefits of doing this to, you know, to me and you. Never had anybody, and I've donated, I don't know, dozens and dozens of cars through my shop.
In order to prove to them, David, that you're not stealing the cars, they've got to be getting some form of receipt that they can show the government that they made this big donation.
Exactly. Yeah, they get, that's all, you know, after the auction process takes place and you know, all is said and done, the vehicle owner does get documentation for the tax write-off, right? It is the deduction on your taxes.
Excellente.
You don't have to be an auto shop owner in California to be part of our board of trustees. You know, we're pretty bright, but we're not super smart in marketing foundations and raising money in foundations and things like that. So, you know, a tax advisor that would want to donate some time to be a part of our trustees, grant writing, right? We could always use a grant writer and have someone like that help out the foundation. You know, so there are opportunities for people that would like to, you know, give it back and pay back a little bit to the industry to do that, right? And you know, just to be clear, it is volunteer, right? We don't pay anybody, but at the same time, it's, you know, you get paid back tenfold by helping the industry.
Excellent idea. You guys have really thought this wide.
one of our partners actually came to us and said, hey, I want to start promoting the vehicle donation program to our national people. We're working on that right now, how that's going to look. You know, it's not just cars. You know, the other day we had somebody that donated a boat. I don't know what it's going to bring in. Evidently, it's a real nice boat. You know, some of the odd stuff they want pictures of, make sure it's, you know, they're not, you know, a box of tore up, whatever, and that sort of thing.
So for everybody who lives in the north, whose boats are in fresh water, and then they go down to Florida or Texas and they have to put their boat into salt water and it'll never be the same again. Just donate it.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I have a friend who's in that situation.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this was great. I learned a lot. I'm impressed with how wide you have thought of all the angles here and how that whole process works with, you know, getting the car sold at auction and the money goes right to the scholarship fund. I mean, it sure sounds like it's being successful enough that, hell, you may be able to start giving more than, you know, 23 scholarships or giving a dozen worth $2,000 or $3,000 each.
Yep. That's our goal, is to grow this process to, you know, to increase the number of scholarships, the how much more we can support students coming into the industry, because, you know, every shop owner out there complains the same thing. I can't find good techs. I can't find good service advisors, so on and so forth. Right. And, you know, this is how you put your money where your mouth is. If you want good techs, you got to help raise good techs. So,
yeah, plant the seed, Dave, to your point. If you were going to sit and talk to the high school counselors, instructors, or classes, one of the biggest supporting platform is the scholarship. You know, you're talking to everybody. You're telling them about this great career and opportunity that they can have working in this high tech industry. And oh, by the way, we've got monies available for scholarships. So if you're very serious about going to this school, here's the QR code. Go and apply. Right. Hey, guys, this was great. I learned a lot. I believe the industry did. Hopefully, we've motivated some people to either help you out with their vehicles or to continue to do something on the side of continuing education. John Epstein, John's Automotive, president of ASCCA and the chairman of the foundation, right?
I'm the chair, yes. And I'm actually the past president of ASCCA.
I didn't get that memo. I'm sorry,
yeah,
man.
Well, that's okay. It was supposed to be a one year job, and it turned into a 2 year job, which was great. I had the legs under me to do it, and you know, we got through. And you know, Rory Bomber's our new president. He's amazing. Carolyn Coquelet's coming in next year, so you know, we're just working together, kind of like with the Educational Foundation. It takes all of us to do what we can.
You got a great organization out there, really great. And of course, Dave, thank you for being here. Dave Cusa from Auto Trend Diagnostics San Fran, president of the ASCEF, the Auto Service Councils of California's Educational Foundation. Guys, thanks so much for bringing it in.
Thank you, Carm. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.